Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Everybody to Soul Purpose Healing. Whoa, I'm starting a little late, so I'm trying to get my live stream going in my stream yard. And we're going to do some drumming one more time because I got started a little late. And we want to bring everybody in on Facebook Live. So welcome. Thank you for joining me. I've had such a busy day. I went to the beach this weekend and stayed with some friends in Melbourne, and I had just a wonderful, wonderful time. I got back today, and I was rushing to get my show on. I didn't even have a guest, but a friend called me and introduced me to this beautiful woman, a beautiful soul, and we invited her to join us tonight and talk about something that's been a little controversial: single parenting. And it ties into Tyree Nichols and all the things that went on in that. I'm going to call it the crucifixion in Memphis. That's what it was, crucifixion in Memphis. And we're all, the fallout from that is still going on because lots of lessons to learn. I'm even finding out there's some numerology, gematria behind this event in Memphis, and some really esoteric spiritual things that went on. For instance, there was a street sign in the video of the crucifixion of Tyree, and it was called, the name of the street was Castlegate. Now, if anybody knows anything about Castlegate, there's even a video game out there about Castlegate, but there's a lot of mystery around the word Castlegate. So evidently, this is where Tyree Nichols ran to and met his demise with the five crucifiers. So we're going to do some more drumming because we really, 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 really need to bring in our ancestors into every single show that we do, because these are some serious times. We're going to transition out of this mess we've been in. I call it the Twilight Zone episode. We're going to transition out of it this year in big ways, and so we're going to do some more drumming. Becky Shea, one more time, because I started late. We want everybody to pick up your drums. We want everybody to bang on your table, whatever you need to do to join us in this call for our ancestors to join us in educating, inspiring, and motivating all of us to take the next giant step into consciousness about this journey that we're on. And this one about the dynamics of single parenting is no accident that I met this woman today who had so much to talk about this subject and all the things she's doing in her life to bring on new paradigms. And I want to share her with you today. So she'll be joining us later on in the show. She has two children, and one of them is a tennis star. She had a tennis game today, and she's hoping it didn't go too long. So we're praying that her daughter wins the tennis game. Anyway, here goes Becky Shea one more time. Everybody pick up your drums. Let's get some drumming energy going, calling in our ancestors for unity. Becky Shea is singing about unity. Yahshua, the spirit of the Messiah, is bringing in unity with the collective body of believers and workers, light workers, all of us. We're here tonight joining together to bring in more unity and to bring some peace about single parenting, because this guy, Jason Whitlock, stirred up a bunch of conversation and debate about whether this guy, Tyree Nichols' death was in many ways tied to single parenting or a single mother. So here we go one more time with Becky Shea. I got my drum here, and we're going to bring in
and heads, let us ransom people for God. Hey. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Hey. Where warriors are falling, there's a resurrection coming.
Lift your cup, rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant.
The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace.
Hey.
Giant.
Your heart.
consciousness, overstanding, and understanding. All right, I feel it, I feel it, I feel the drumbeat, I feel the drumbeat. So welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining me this evening. If you're in the studio and you have anything you'd like to comment on or say, just press 1 and I'll open your mic. And if you're on Facebook, I'm on Facebook Soul Purpose Healing, and on my personal page, Vieta or Vieta Robinson. So come on in, come on in. We got work to do, brothers and sisters. We got work to do. So many things happening. I heard today that all the internet went out in Italy today. I don't know if that's true. If anybody knows better, let me know. And many people believe it's coming to America, coming to America. Yep, so they got a plan to put everybody in fear again, but we don't have to be in fear because remember something, if you grew up in America, we pledged allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic. The Republic, the definition of Republic is a system that gives superpower to the people. Superpower, it says in the definition, to the people. So we made a declaration as children that we would have allegiance to the flag of the United States of the Republic. And so we got to bring that, manifest that this year. This is our year to manifest a republic where the people have superpower, not the lobbyists, not the government, but the people. So that's why I'm here every Sunday evening to help us energize the belief, the mind, and the heart of all of us little children, our little childhood minds, pledging allegiance to a republic. We didn't even have the slightest idea what that meant at the time. But now we know we're wiser and smarter, and we can take back our republic. We can take it back now and do what we came here to do as souls. In this country of freedom, we're coming back, taking our freedom back, and we're pledging allegiance to the Republic, which is going to have to be manipulated and changed to get out all the lobbyists and all the crooked politicians, but it can be done if we work together. Now, as I said in the beginning of the show, the reason we're talking about the dynamics of single parenting tonight, and I have a special guest, Soyini Chang is going to join me. So, Yini, if you're in the studio, press 1, and I'll open your mic. And she's going to share her journey, a very unique young lady who was born in Jamaica. And we want to hear from her because she is so, when I heard this woman today, she's so articulate. And she has such an open mind and full of wisdom. I just love talking to her today, and that's why I invite her. But let me play it. Oh, looks like I got a hand raised, so I believe Soyini, and she may be mispronouncing her name, but she's in the studio. But I want to play this this audio first, and then I'll bring in my guest. This is an audio of Jason Whitlock. He's a sports, very popular sports journalist, very controversial. He's very conservative, and oh my goodness, did he get some flack for even suggesting that Tyree Nichols' death was related to single mothers? Oh my goodness, the fallout from this crucifixion in Memphis has just been off the chain, but it's all for a good purpose because all the discussion around Tyree Nichols is going to bring us together and bring us into a higher consciousness to change this planet. That's what it's all about. The Creator does not allow these type of things to happen for no reason. It all happened for a good reason because this is a 7. Remember, 2023 is a 7. So everything is in divine order. Just think there's no good, there's no bad, there's no wrong, no right. Everything is in divine order. And what we're here to do is learn lessons. And if you can keep that attitude in 2023 that everything that happens is a lesson, what's the lesson? Help me, Father. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Spirit of the Most High. Help me, Cosmos. Help me, Universe. Tell me what the lesson is. You are going to grow and prosper. That is the word of the Most High in the year of the 7. So let me just introduce you to this comment that Mr. Whitlock made, and then I want to hear from you about whether what you think he is saying has some truth in it or not, because the fallout was off this crazy. People criticizing him for how dare you say something like that, that the fact that the majority of the families in this country are of single mothers or parents, and it contributes to the chaos, the death even, he's suggesting, of people in our society. So let me bring in this audio that shares what he said, and then I'll open up the mic of my guest so you can learn about this beautiful soul that I met today.
Last night, sports analyst Jason Whitlock will respond to all the controversy he's received after saying the event was a byproduct of communities controlled by single black mothers. Whitlock would double down in his initial statement, claiming that America has a growing preference for female authority and alternative family structures, which he considers dangerous. On his show, Whitlock said, "Black urban areas are dominated by matriarchal rulership. It is an utter failure and disaster. These areas all operate similar to Memphis. Crime is astronomical. Young men settle their differences with deadly violence. Academic performance hovers at a record low. Illegitimacy rates skyrocket." Whitlock's final point was to dismiss white supremacy as the cause of this story and instead blame it on the destruction of male leadership while criticizing single black women. Today we have our Comedy Hype analysts, Danielle Miller, Capone, and Pierre, all calling in to give their thoughts and reactions. But first, let's take a look at this clip.
No racial group in America is more out of line with God's natural order than black people. 70% of our kids are born to unwed mothers. We don't view family as a necessity for success. It's just one of many options. The matriarchy, it doesn't work. My critics say my criticism is off base because Tyree Nichols has a mother and a stepfather, and that the city's female police chief, Sherilyn Davis, is married and a mother. No one survives a rotten culture unscathed. The pervasiveness of baby mama culture harms everyone, including the non-participants forced to operate within it. Police start gangs to combat gang violence. Young men without fathers in the home are attracted to gangs. Baby mama culture celebrates gang involvement. Black men see black women as our leaders, our saviors. I don't. We got preachers sitting in pulpits that want to tell you, well, it's from slavery 150 years ago. And until we resolve slavery from 150 years ago, there's nothing we can do about it. It's a joke. And I'm the one catching criticism for saying, hey, this is about the family. This is about a matriarchal culture. That's how crazy this thing is. That's how dishonest this whole thing is. The system that's going on right now is about the destruction of male leadership. And all the leverage in a relationship has been thrown to one side, women. And black women have run wild with it. And I don't care if that pisses you off, but that's the reality. They've taken that leverage. I don't need no man. I'll have his baby, and then I will hold that baby over his head like a gun. I will use all this system that we've constructed to emasculate that man.
Now, while there are many things that we can talk about, as this was a three-hour episode, you know, where he talks about what he actually goes back on, saying that the chief is a single mother. We hear him talk about the matriarchal society. But, Pierre, I want to come to you. What's your reaction to what Jason said?
Okay, we don't want to hear his reaction. We want to hear your reaction here with me in the studio, because that was a lot to digest what he said. But the most interesting thing about Tyree Nichols' crucifixion, what he said was so true, that the police department starts gangs to combat the gang violence in the city. Let me repeat that. That was powerful what he said. I don't agree with everything he said, but there's a lot of truth in there, and I want to hear from you, and our guest is also going to help us break down these comments by this man, Jason Whitlock, who a lot of people are upset with right now. The police department in Memphis is a mess right now, socially and economic, all those things. The police department starts gangs to combat the gang violence in the city. That's what we ask, and that's the reality that I don't think too many of us can deny happened with Memphis. And there's so many symbolism and metaphors in the city of Memphis, the street name Castle Gate that he died on. Oh, boy. I'm going to be digesting that for the next week, the Castle Gate. What does that mean, that he actually ran to the corner of Castle Gate to give his life, what many people are saying. And I have a clip that I want to play later about Castle Gate decoded, that this woman actually believes Tyre Nichols gave up his soul for this period to give a message, powerful message, about police departments starting gangs to combat the gang violence in the city. We are in the Twilight Zone episode, whatever. Let's see. Maybe we can call this episode 4, since this is a fourth year. We're going into the fourth year of this crazy, insane energy that we've all had to deal with and adjust to, because our government is corrupt and deceitful and dishonest. So we, the people, we're here to take over our lives again, bring back the power, the sovereignty, and take our lives back. So let me open up the mic for what I believe my guest, Soyini Chang. Are you there?
Yes, Vieta, I'm here. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you to the studio audience for their presence this evening. I know you could be doing so many things in the world right now, but you chose to be here with us, so I appreciate your presence.
Oh, you are so sweet and so beautiful, my dear. I've never even met you, but I can just feel your beautiful soul. So am I saying your name right, Soyini?
Yeah, it's confusing because it looks like S-O-Y, but it's really pronounced like Sa and then Eni, Soyini.
Soyini, okay, and Chang.
Yes.
So people are wondering, the Chang Chinese, or is there some other language we're listening to?
No, it is. I'm Jamaican, and I'm a Jamaican Chinese, so that's where that comes from.
Now, who's the Chinese? Your mother, father, grandparents? What's that name?
On my father's side.
Okay. So you bring us a beautiful mixture of a diverse culture that you are so educated. And you're doing your thing. Tell our audience a little bit about what you are. So first of all, your background, a little bit about your background, where you grew up, your education, and what you're doing today, and why you're in Orlando.
Yes. So I, left Jamaica as a small child, and my parents came to the land of milk and honey because, like so many other families, they wanted to be able to get access to opportunity. There were barriers in Jamaica that existed, and they just didn't see themselves being able to navigate through that. And so they felt like, let's go, as they say, guana foreign. They came to the foreign and started our family here. My father joined the United States Navy, and so we ended up moving around a lot. But for the bulk of mostly like middle school and high school years, I was raised in Jacksonville, Florida. And then I went off to college in Georgia and then later lived in New York and New Jersey for about 20-something years. I graduated from Emory University with a economics degree. So I studied economics and business, and then I later got my master's in educational leadership. And so fast forward, I now have a diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging management consulting firm. And what I do is I help leaders work with them and their teams in order to better understand how to leverage diversity, equity, inclusion in a way that drives their business development goals as well as optimizes their culture's performance.
Awesome. Beautiful. That keeps you busy, and you're a mom also, right?
I am. I am a mother of two beautiful daughters. They are my son and my North Star at the same time. they definitely keep me busy. They're extremely active girls. One of them is in tennis. Both of them play tennis, but one of them has been playing tennis since she was 6, and she plays about 15 hours a week worth of tennis. And so she's on schedule this year to graduate from high school. I can't believe it. And then my other one is in middle school. She'll be graduating. She'll be leaving middle school and going to high school next year. So she's involved in tennis too, but she's a little bit more into the creative arts and the singing and the acting and dancing. So lots of fun times in my household. Never a dull moment, I will say that. And add to that the fun and joy of my Caribbean family when they come to visit it. Like I said, you are destined to have a good time here, Vienna, with us.
Yay, I can't wait. Now, did she win her game today?
She did. She won. I'm so proud of her and happy for her because, yeah, getting herself back out there on the court. But, yeah, she walked away with a W and she got her medal. So she's happy about that. She's she had to do recovery this evening, so she's doing an Epsom salt bath.
Now, let me ask you, is Venus and Serena Williams her mentors, or has she been watching them carefully?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Serena, right? I mean, she is the mother of so many offsprings that have been born, through the love of tennis. Because of her love of tennis and commitment to the sport, how many children were inspired because of her legacy, and for her to still be so young and so, you know, using her platform the way that she has used it in tennis, but for other ventures that she's involved in. But my daughters, like so many others, grew up, you know, learning about Venus and Serena and really the sacrifice that it takes to play this great sport. And I will say that they've even had the pleasure of jump roping with Serena. So they've gotten to meet her. Asada has met her personally and taken pictures with her. And so that was a proud moment for her. But, yes, absolutely. The Williams sisters, like, you know, have been a symbol in the community, not just of female empowerment, but of just empowerment, period. Like, the fact that you can come from such humble beginnings and dream big and reach those goals.
Absolutely. I'm so proud of her, too, and I hope to meet her and you in the near future, because that's what our brother Jonathan does. He brings people together, so we're so glad that you've joined. So you heard Jason Whitlock's comments, and what we want, our intention and our goal tonight is this. We're going to have to go to a break, but I want to just share our intention and our goals, and my executive producer will let me know when she's ready to play commercials, and then we'll go to a break. But I want to just emphasize our intention tonight, is to bring an understanding of single parents, the dynamics of it, first of all, what some of the things that challenge single parents and yet can really bring a successful child up, even when they're single parenting. I know the man who, what's his name, who was the surgeon, he was a brain surgeon. He was our housing director.
Oh,
in,
Carter.
Benjamin Carter. He was, if you read his book, he was raised by a single mom, and her focus was, you got to read books while I'm working, whatever, you got to, mom was just determined to have her kids educated and not sit around doing anything. So Benjamin Carter became the surgeon who made international news because of his skill of working on brains. So we have many, many successful stories about single moms raising great kids and successful kids. And then there are those, unfortunately, who are on drugs or who have the strength or the wisdom to bring up healthy children, which, of course, affects the kids going into gangs and so forth. So where we are today is a really critical point in either seeing more people dying like Tyree Nichols or bringing up more great children, great professionals. Sayini, what's your view?
Vieta, you broke up a little bit. Say that part again, the question.
What's your response to Jason Whitlock and the idea, the dynamics of single parenting? What have you learned in your journey, either observing others and what you've seen?
You are now in the host queue.
Oh, my gosh. First of all, I'm so disappointed in Jason. I'm so, you know, I'm a mother, and so I'd like to just put my arms around him, and I don't know what happened to him growing up, that he has this vitriol against single mothers, but I don't understand it. I can never comprehend it, you know, and the Most High says the things that are not for me to understand, I have to let those go, because I try to get to another level of being able to relate to an individual and the perspective that they're sharing and what they're coming from. And with his comments, I just could not find any strand of relatability. And
okay,
the thing is, you have a list of men that have been raised by single mothers. I mean, Kanye West, Jay-Z, so many men that are very successful that were raised by single mothers. I believe Charles Barkley, you could add on that list. I know Deion Sanders can't talk enough about his mother and the journey she had and how many jobs she worked in order to support him and his dream of becoming a football player. So there are so many men who have testimonials about being raised by a single mother. And not even to take away or mention the fact that single moms, their contribution to society economically, right, because most single mothers, they're working more than one job to support their families, right? So there's the economic contribution from single mothers. There's the emotional and mental and physical contribution from single mothers. If you think about it historically, how many, I'm going to go there, but how many white families were raised by single mothers, right? Their nannies, their helpers were single moms. So the moms have contributed so tremendously towards the nurturing and the caring and the hands-on upbringing, and doing so in the way sometimes with not even the best of resources, with little to no resources accessible to them, trying to take the lemons that they have to try to make lemonade with barely the means to do so. And so for him to say what he said, I was infuriated, to say the least. And we're not even going to go talk about the fact that we still live in a patriarchal society. I mean, the last time I checked, that's still the case. If I look at leadership teams, Fortune 500 companies, they're still run by men. The majority are still run by men. So for Jason to make this conversation divisive and to plight it against single mothers the way that he has, what I will call in my human self, the untimely murder. I understand that spiritually there's a reason for everything, and I may not understand the Most High's direction on everything, and so I have to be mindful of that. But in my human self, the untimely and heinous murder of Tyree, for that to be the point where he decides to talk about this being the reflection of being raised by single mothers and how they're raising young men, I just am so disappointed that he would take this opportunity to divide the culture.
Okay, so we're going to take, thank you so much. I love your opinion about that. And when we come back, we've got a couple of callers with their hands up. So we're going to take their calls, but we've got to take a break. And anyone else who has a comment, we want to, again, our intention is to bring an optimistic result or opinion, optimistic solution to the single parents out there. Even if there is an ounce of truth to what Jay's saying, we do want to go into a new paradigm of more unity for one. Like our guest said, this is once again bringing out the division. So Naima Latif, my executive producer for The Female Solution, is in the studio, and she's going to bring us some commercials.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
This February 5th. So we're looking at the number 5 energy tonight. That brings to mind, for me, and I hope our numbers guy is here, but number 5 brings to mind grace of the divine creator. Grace is the number 5 for me, but our numbers person might be in the studio. Let's see. Let me open up the mic, 779-801. Your mic is open. Welcome. We're joined by our special guest, Suyini Chang, and now we're joined by, is this Brother Eddie?
No, this is not the numbers guy. This is Maika, the calendar girl.
Maika, thank you. I had your number is very similar to his, though. So welcome. Maika is a Female Solution host and guest and contributor to the raising of the consciousness in this planet. So thank you for joining us, Maika. Go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, I want to say this is the 5th, and the principle on the I Am February history calendar is justice. And of course, in 1995, Trayvon Martin was born, and we know he was a ninth grade student who was fatally shot on February 26, 2012, but he received no justice. But the earliest date on the calendar for this date is 1793, when John Rankin was born. Abolitionist Henry Ward Beecher said that he brought an end to slavery with his sons. He was a great abolitionist. And Hank Aaron was born on this day in 1934, the home run king of baseball. And Amarusa Menegal, the political aide in the White House under President Donald Trump, was also born on this day. So we give thanks to those who God used on this day who were born. Thank you. You know, the statement that the guy that, I don't know his name.
Jason.
Right. His statement, I can understand his statement and how he can come to that, because we really are a female-dominated society. We, if I'm in a room with a man, I'm XX and he's XY. That's three X's and one Y. So I already dominate him already as far as X control. And that's the same throughout the world. So a lot of the foolishness that goes on in the society is the lunatic side of the female. That's the woman who hasn't explored the dark side of her consciousness or the dark side of the moon. She hasn't explored her shadow self and the wreckage and turmoil and disaster that it brings forth in herself and in her family and in the world also. We have to take responsibility for that, because that stuff is real. All the teachers who are PMSing and raising young boys in the classroom and taking this stuff out on them, that's an effect. And it's too, I don't have enough time to talk about all the effects, because I know other people want to discuss it also. But we have to examine all parts of the issue. We know that single motherhood, except in herds or groups where there's one male who's over all the children, that's the only norm in terms of single motherhood, if you want to call it single motherhood. But other than that, it's abnormal. So there are some negative effects that come from it. And we do need to look at what those are so that we as a society can shore that up and make it more suitable for the children who are coming up under the rule of a single parent mother. I came up under a dual family system. I often wonder what I'd be like if I didn't have a father in the home, because I was a troublemaker. And my mama couldn't do nothing with me. My daddy could. My daddy could. His word was law, and I did what he told me to do. I learned to think because I couldn't react. So that was one of the blessings that I had. I'm so glad I had a father. I would have been a mess. So that's all I want to say right now, but I think that we have to take serious that it is a deficit for any single mother. We've got a lot of successful, but they've been strained to who knows what depth of, you know, misery and suffering and pain in doing it.
Absolutely. And you know what? You were so right, Mike. We don't hear enough about the successful families with two parents, really. We hear where the media loves to blow up and promote the single parent problem or the gang problem, but the media is all about division. So that's why we have to turn the television off and create a new paradigm and take back our power. I'm also grateful that my father was in my life for all my life, for the last 50, 60 years. And even though my parents divorced when I was about 11 years old, my dad was never more than 5 miles away to call or come to my aid or whatever. He was very much involved. So I wonder, too, what my life would be like without his influence, because my mother was an alcoholic. She wasn't present at all most of the time. So I'm grateful, too. Many, those of us who have a father in our life, and a mother, even if she was an alcoholic, at least I had a lesson to learn from her presence, whether it was healthy or not. I look back on the lesson that from her presence, and my father was a major, major influence in my life. So thank you for that. And we have to recognize that we're out of order. We're out of order with all these single moms and no father in the house. And we know the history behind that. So let me go to another caller and get your thoughts on this. We're here. We want to hear from you. 321-368. Your mic is open.
Shalom, everybody.
Shalom.
Do you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I want to just tell you up front, if I get too long, just pull my coattail.
Okay, who's this calling?
This is Mikhail. You don't know my number?
Oh, Mikhail. Okay. Thank you for calling.
Anyway, because I got a lot to say about this stuff. That's why I said,
okay, well,
if I get too long-winded, pull my coat. Huh?
Before the show ends, we would like to give another call. I believe it's Kwame. He's got his hand up, too. So go ahead, Mikhail.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to be that long, but I'm just saying if it's too long, if you consider it that way, just pull my coattail. I don't have a problem with it. But anyway, because I want to share about a couple of personal experiences on this subject. Okay. First of all, in my opinion, Jason Whitlock is on point in a lot of things that he said. Certain things I don't agree necessarily with everything that he said, because I think that he probably was focusing on what was affecting him or what has affected him, and well, maybe what he's noticed, as opposed to really explaining that when he made his talk. But I could, you know, I'm used to analyzing stuff, and so I was basically analyzing what he was talking about and then making a conclusion based on that and things that I've observed in my 70-plus years coming up. But anyway, I believe that there is a certain class of single-parent moms that, how will I say this, that contribute to problems of our society. When I was in Texas, I left Texas in 2009 to come to Florida. But before I left Texas, I was reading just before I left. I think it might have been during that year or just the year before that I left. I was reading a series in one of the special little newspapers that they had there in Dallas. And it was a series. And it was a series on a serial killer. But I'm going to cut the chase on that, but because that could be a whole big dissertation right there. But anyway, when I read his story, and it was so interesting, because normally I don't really follow after that kind of stuff, or I might look at it, read it, but not necessarily follow the series. But I did, because his was so interesting and so it was actually exciting, because this guy was playing a cat and mouse game with the law enforcement, and he was outsmarting them on every turn. And when they would catch him and put him in jail, he said, "Well, hey, when I get out, I'm going to do it again." And he was murdering women. He had a whole list of women that he was murdering. But then bottom line is it went back to his mom. He told about his experience with his mom. I'm not going to go into that. But I understood. I understood what he's talking about. I was given away twice. When you talk about single moms, as far as I recall, the first time that I was given away, my mom, my second mom, was a single mom, but she was great. She loved me, and I know that, and she nurtured me, and she gave me a foundation that carried on throughout my life and actually helped me to be where I am now. And the second time that I was given away to my aunt and uncle. And my uncle wasn't a father figure. My aunt was the dominant force. She was the male. You know, my uncle, he was the breadwinner. He was a hardworking man. He worked, bring his check home, give to my aunt. Then he's laying on the couch resting until the next morning, pretty much when he's got to go to work. I mean, actually afternoon. He worked afternoon. But I wanted to say, okay, coming from Detroit, I've seen a lot involving. So I had friends that was from single homes. You know, mom raised them and stuff. All right, I'm not going to go into that aspect because I wanted to say this. Okay, I was raised in Detroit. I met my first wife in Detroit. We went through a divorce. All right, I was sending her money. I was sending her money regularly because I had a good job. And I was sending her money for the kids, but she still, in spite of that, I don't know where the influence came or whatever, but she turned me over to the so-called friend of the court. I don't see where they are any kind of friend, except to the single mothers. And so, you know, I had to end up paying child support. And I asked her, so why do you do that? I said, I was sending you money, so why would you do that? I don't recall exactly even what she said in response to that. But anyway, getting back to her, okay. After we had divorced, all right, I made myself, you know, I would still pick up my kids regularly. We'd go out to the park, go out to the movies, go out here, there, you know, just spend time with my children. And because we were together 11 and a half years before the divorce. So the children had both parents there. Of course, I was in college part of that time. I had originally told her I didn't really want to marry and go and have to go to, because I was already planning to go to college, and I was telling her I didn't want to marry and go to college, and she was like, well, you think I'm going to wait for you while you go and be around all those hot chicks in the college? And I was like, I didn't want to lose it, so I went ahead and got married. We had children, two children when I went to college. They were like toddlers. But anyway, after we divorced, we had some issues that were, I guess, couldn't be resolved, and so we ended up divorced. But I'm going to just fast forward that to after my son grew up, we talked, and he would tell me. He told me this on a number of occasions. He said, Daddy, because I was telling him, I don't know, we got in some kind of conversation, and he because he felt, I mean, he read me my right. He cussed me out and all kind of stuff. And a lot of it was based on what his mom told me. And then he eventually told me, he said, well, mommy used to talk about you so bad. He said, I didn't even want to listen to it. And I asked her to stop doing it. And he said she wouldn't. And so he said, since she wouldn't, he would just get up and walk away. And he told me also that he would speak up for me. And so I'm saying that to say this about my former wife, the single parent. Okay, now, I got a job in Texas. I got recruited by Dallas School District to teach there. And so I ended up in Dallas after divorce sometime, and long story short, that's where I found my second wife. We got married. Okay. We would still go back. I would bring her, and periodically we'd go back and visit the children, because by then they were teenagers and getting into their late teens. All right. And so here, me and my second wife, we're visiting the kids over at their mom's. They're still teenagers with their mom. And so while I'm with my son and my daughter, my second and first wife, they're in a room, and then my son and I, we're in another room. We're talking and kicking it. And so I hear my second wife, she's like, okay, after we had been there, she's like, You, because he was doubting me. He was doubting me in front of my second wife and my daughter. And obviously she had been doing it before the children. And my second wife addressed it. She was like, you talk about your ex-husband like that with your children around? And I mean, When she did it, a former wife had to shut her mouth and tuck her tail, and that's what she did.
I'm
saying that to say this. A lot of single mothers have done that. They're so angry she was so angry, and actually she slandered me on every level. And it reached a point I didn't really hate anybody, but I basically almost hated her. But now, believe it or not, we talk. We actually consider ourselves friends. But my point is this. The things that she said, and my son ended up in a gang. Okay, and watch this. He ended up in a gang, and he got so that she couldn't handle him. And she was calling me and telling me, well, you know, I can't do nothing with my I had already told him before I left Detroit. I said, look, if you ever raise your hand to your mom, I said, that's the position that they're going to bury you in. And so I let him know. I said, if you ever raise your hand against your mom, I'm coming back, and I'm going to take care of it. And so he knew that. But being in this gang and being a certain kind of way, and he told me some other things that he was going to even progress once he came. In other words, she was saying she couldn't deal with him. She was asking if he could come and live with me and my second wife and our family. My second wife had two children from a previous marriage. So I was like, hey, that's my son. If he needs to come and stay with me, he comes and stays with me. And so he did. He came and stayed. But by then, he was 16. Okay.
Mikhail, you have demonstrated perfectly the dynamics of single parenting. It's not that simple to say this is the reason why a man like Tyre Nichols was killed, and even if he was raised with gangs. But the dynamics is that your wife, the woman, the single mother, has issues just like the man. And we talk about this. We talk about this on the Female Solution all week about the ocean and the healing that's needed in everyone. Every one of us has had some kind of trauma. Adult, we're talking adults mostly, and then children. And if we don't deal with the traumas of our childhood, for instance, a wife who wants slander of her children. That woman is angry, and she has not dealt with her own issues growing up as a child, where she may have felt rejected or whatever. So thank you, Mikhail, so much for sharing that.
Wait a minute, one second. I got to say this before I go.
Okay, we're going to go to a break.
And it's going to be a half a minute. It's going to just be a half a minute, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Many of you might have seen that TikTok clip where that guy was saying, he was speaking about a young man that was saying, Mom, you're a bitch. And then they told the story of why this son said to his mom, and he was a teenager, why he said that his son was a bitch, his mom was a bitch, of how her being a single parent, she met this guy who took good care of the whole family. Long story short, they had been together for years. The mom, I guess while the guy was at work at one point in time, she went and took all his money out of the bank and then skipped town. But that's another story. So I'm through.
So that, again, yeah, thank you so much. We're going to go to a break. Thank you. That was Mikhail in Florida. And we're going to go to a break. But that's another example of how the character of women can determine the mental and emotional health of the children. And it can go the same way with men. So we're going to take a break and come back. We got Brother Kwame Sunhor. Did he leave? Oh, Kwame, I don't know. He had his hand up. But we're going to come back. And when we come back, I do have another audio to play if we don't have any other comments or hands up. But Naima Latif, I'm going to open up your mic, and we got another break coming up. So hang in there. Stick
crime
and stay.
In Chicago
don't
contains
away.
The entries. Community and politician must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Joining us this evening. If you just joined us, we're talking about the dynamics of single parenting. And we've had some really good examples and opinions about whether the comments Jason Whitlock made about single moms being having a contribution to events like what happened to Tyree Nichols, whether you are agreeing or not, there's a dynamic not so simple explanation for what contribution mothers make to the health of their children who grow up to be grown men. But they definitely have an influence, good or bad, or and unless those children can grow up knowing that everything is a lesson, then they can indeed join gangs because they're wounded, they're hurt. And I have to agree with the one statement that Jason Whitlock pointed out, and that is that what had happened in Memphis and what happens in a lot of cities, unfortunately, is that we have police departments starting gangs in the way of blue suits and men who are really not prepared or qualified, who are put out on the streets to combat gang violence. And that's what we saw. A lot of mental illness as Tyree Nichols was crucified by a bunch of gang members. So in blue suits, we might add. So let's open the mic to our brother Kwame Sunhorse, 706-202. Your mic's open.
Good evening, Sister Viata, and good evening to Sister Chang. I think if your guest was still on.
Yeah, you know, I think he heard that, but thank you for greeting.
Yeah, but what I'm looking at and what you're looking with the statistics and, you know, the single parent family, because every 7 seconds there's a child born. There's over 12,300 children born in a day. And so what we're looking at is you can go and look at the data I was just researching, Annie Casey Foundation, the well-being of single-parent families, August 1st, 2022, Annie Casey Foundation. And what they did is they're doing the demographics. The way they define a single parent is that any child under the age of 18 living with an unmarried parent or children living in cohabitating couples, that's how they define a single parent. And what we're looking at is the matriarchal and the patriarchal. The matriarchal was when the women were in control of the land and control of the children. And in our ancestry, the the African or the black culture was once matriarchal, which is now is coming back to being matriarchal, and the Native American was matriarchal, because the two leading single parents is the black and the American Indian children, 64% black children and 52% of Native American Indian children fit that demographic. And for the Europeans, their demographic as being only 24% of the children and 15% of the Asian. So they have that two-family household. And so what we're looking at is that we know by design, and you watched Emancipation, and what did he go to do when he went and got freedom? What did he do? A black man went and found his family.
Right.
He went looking after the war and they were free. His emancipation, he went to find his wife and his children. We once upon a time honored family because we still carried the matriarchal, because in most households, the grandmother was the head person. Yeah, the grandfather was there if you got married, but the grandmother was always the matriarchal voice. And the thing that we've done, and I always saying this, is that we used to, the grandmothers gave the children lap time, and the grandfathers gave the boys lap time, and talking to them and showing them the ways of becoming a man. But now we take our children and we give them, now you got a single parent giving the child no grandmother, because the grandmother is just about a few years younger than the mother of the child. So what you've got is that we're giving our children to the laptop, and we give them laptops, we give them iPads, we give them iPhones, and we're giving them artificial intelligence. We put our children in front of televisions, and we put them in front of Xboxes and all of these things. So what you're doing, and really, you got a single household run by AI.
Absolutely.
And those 12,000 children that were born today now are going to be integrated into artificial intelligence, with one parent being that 54% of black household and the Native American household. They're going to be, and gangs did not start with the police. West Side Story was Fleming of showing you about gangs, the Sharks and the whatever, the Jets. And the part of the gangster, even when Jeff Ford and Larry Hoover started, they were softball teams in Chicago. What they did after the game, and they started fighting with each other for losing the game or that, this is where it came, because the men, most of the households were people that were on welfare, and they, in turn, didn't have male guidance. So they would group together, the young men grouped together to honor and protect the neighborhood and protect themselves.
So I think it sounds like you pretty much agree with Jason Whitlock's analysis of what is the root cause of this type of violence.
No. Because I don't agree with his analysis, the essence of what he's looking at. He's looking at statistics, but you have to look at how did we become this way? We were not like this. That's why I went back to emancipation. How did we become this? Back in the 50s, the welfare and the most people on welfare is not black people, it's white people. And the part of welfare saying, Claudine was a good movie example. They had to hide everything when the caseworker came, and you couldn't have a man in the house because the state was taking care of you. And Mikael was saying he turned him over to the friendly folks of the court. It's because they in turn said, okay, you take the man out, we'll find him, and we'll get him to pay us, pay you through us, so we can make sure that if he don't pay us, we can put him as a criminal. There's over 1.5 million black men missing in America right now. Incarceration, whatever else is going on, the body part, and especially the shooting and killing of young black men, because when you murder a young black man, they have to do an autopsy, and all his organs come out of his body, and they are sold. There's a market for human organs, and who has the best resource of body parts? Black men. Young black men.
I think we can still, I think there's, we are in fact somewhat agreeing with Jason Whitlock in that the natural order of the family is not there, especially and mostly in the black community. And what you're doing, Kwame, is outlining some of the root causes of why we're out of order. And there's so right. many we can point to. And one of them, in fact, is that drugs and alcohol have contributed a great deal to black families being out of order. We have talked about many times on the Female Solution. Some of us grew up right. with alcoholic parents.
Right, but what I'm sharing is that you have to look at our story and you look at the three things that are right now, what you're talking about, is alcohol, guns, and cloth. That started the slave trade. Those three
right.
things were used in order to, and they're still being used in our community because we have more liquor stores, we commit more black-on-black crimes with guns, and we want to wear every kind of designer clothes with somebody else's name on it to be their billboard. And the part of it is that as we overstand our story and looking at the matriarchal, what we're doing is we're attempting to go back and do what matriarchal was in our ancestry way, but we're having the absence of the male being the support, because the male is only there to be to provide, protect, and to profess. Provide, protect, and profess. For when that every 7 days these children are being born, those children need the guidance. And what you were saying too about the young lady, if she sees her mother has a revolving door, what is her mindset that she has to do when she gets into the age of reasoning with a man? I got to have a revolving door. I'm not going to have just one.
So, absolutely, absolutely. And so we're looking at, again, the dynamics of single parenting, and with billions of people on planet Earth, men and many, a large percentage of us, either black or white, are struggling with not having a parent. Here's another example by a young lady, what she believes. This is a young lady, TED Talk, who believes who shares what she sees as the effects of having a single parent in the house.
Good evening, everyone. So when you think of a typical American family, what comes to mind? A while ago, people would have thought of a mom, a dad, and maybe a brother or sister. Some people still do, but in today's society, there's been a huge increase in single-parent households since the 1950s. Many children are living in a single-parent household with only one parent for support, love, and guidance. And about 200,000 children are living in a single-parent household in only the state of Illinois. In fact, I'm one of those children, living with only my mom and my brother, no father in the picture. But imagine that, 200,000 children living in only the state of Illinois. Just think about how many there are in the whole United States. And I know some of you are in this room right now. For the most part, children in these families have single parents because they are either going through a divorce, a parent chose not to stick around, or a parent has passed away. This takes a toll on children's emotional and social lives. It controls almost every part of their lives. They grow up differently because parents have to take on two roles and are under more stress trying to support the family while at the same time being there for the kids. It doesn't always work out well because while worrying about other things, another might be left out, such as just being there for the kids. Speaking to a consultant from a single family organization, Single and Parenting, Kathy Fallon had mentioned that the most common problem in a single parent household are parents being too busy working and providing for the family, not enough time paying attention to children's emotional needs. So children become depressed and detached from their social lives because they have other responsibilities and have to cope with their problems at home. Eldest children end up having to take up so much more responsibility taking care of younger siblings or even taking care of the household because they are the oldest. In my home, my brother is 10 years older than me, and he's always been obligated to take care of me, hearing, watch over your sister, watch over your sister. Even now, I'm old enough to take care of myself, and my brother Rodney still has to watch over me sometimes, even though he says he doesn't. He always says he's only here for 911. My mom never brought around any other person in the family. I guess not to step on my brother's toes with him being the man of the house and to not make me uncomfortable. I've always saw my brother as a role model and a father because he was all I've ever known since I was little. So it's always just been me, my mom, and my brother. I have a friend, and for half of his life, he was happy with two parents and two siblings. When he was 8 years old, his father had passed away, and this took on many new changes in his life. He started to feel depressed and didn't cope too well with only living with one parent. Describing his situation, he had said, "It's harder on my older siblings because without a dad, they had to look over me. So being the youngest, it was definitely easier on me. My mom was gone most of the time working, being the breadwinner in the family, so she was only there for whenever she needed to be. It was hard getting used to one parent. I didn't cope too well, and it was worse because people would mention their families, how happy they were, and I would kind of break down. I dealt with it by holding it in. However, I feel that I am successful coming from a low school like Marsh to Jones. It is a real step forward for me." A lot of people like to say that minorities, people living in low-income families, or just people in different circumstances are doomed to fail. But that is not true. Children in single-parent families are disadvantaged for the most part, only living off of one parent's income, having one figure for guidance, and going through numerous changes in their life along with stress. But they can overcome this. You can't let these things take over your entire life and let it change your path. It's almost like letting someone tell you that because you're short, you can't jump higher than the next person. Or that because you're a woman, you can't achieve more in life than a man. In middle school, my friend and I would like to walk around Cal Park and visit the beach. 2 years ago on one of these walks, she had confided in me about her parents' divorce. This girl's name is Gabriela Pantoja. Now, look at that smile. Nobody would really think that anything could be wrong with her. I had asked her what it was like going through the divorce, and she responded with, "My parents' divorce has made me an emotional and bitter person because I'd never tell anyone what was going on, so I kept my emotions inside so that people wouldn't pity me or see me as a victim. It makes me very angry, but despite the changes, I feel that I am successful with my attention more towards my education to get my mind off the divorce. My parents serve as my motivation to do and be better." Gabriella is just another example of how hard it can be transitioning to a single-parent household. When I would think of my situation with my family, mostly my dad. I would listen to this song called A Trophy Father's Trophy Son by Sleeping with Sirens. I felt that it explained my situation almost perfectly. And my father isn't in my life the way that I would want him to be. But listening to the lyrics, I related so much and would sit there in my room just listening to them or thinking about them. Father, Father, where have you been? It's been hell not having you here. Why are you walking away? Was it something I did? Did I make a mistake? Because I'm trying to deal with the pain. I don't understand this. Why are you running away? Tell me, please, I need to know. Is this what you call family? I realize I'm fine without my father in my life. I've been doing well without him, all because of my mother and brother. I get just as much love from my mom as anybody else. I know that I can overcome living like this and not let it take over my life. Andrew, Gabriella, myself, and my brother are just prime examples that you can succeed only if you try. Living in a family with only one parent as the breadwinner and supporter, with children having so many different responsibilities and emotions, is a struggle. But people can overcome this. If you are one of these people, don't keep everything in. Talk to somebody that you trust or talk to your parent. Try and do well in school. If you're a parent, even if it's for 5 minutes, spend that time with your kids. Stay positive. It can make such a difference in your life. The smallest thing can make the biggest reaction. You just have to take that one step. Thank you.
Well, I can appreciate listening to that young lady share her pain and the pain that she's seen in others. And that's what draws our attention to the drug addiction problem we have, especially with fentanyl. It's an epidemic in this country, if not the world, that people are overdosing on fentanyl. So when I look at these police officers, these police thugs, that crucified this young man, Tyree, I'm wondering, are they on drugs? Because meth is actually a drug that people are addicted to as well, that causes them to do the type of harm and hateful violence toward another individual like they did on this Tyree. And yet there's another dimension to what happened to Tyree, as you'll hear later maybe about Castlegate Decoded, the spiritual, metaphysical cause behind it. But just simply listening to her, the one word that caught my attention was the pain that many of these children are in, which causes them to take drugs, ease their pain, which leads to alcohol addiction or any type of drug addiction, fentanyl, meth, which can cause or contribute to the problem of having thugs like we saw kill or beat up a man so badly that on the third day, I didn't think about that till I heard this young lady talk about the metaphysical aspects of Tyree's crucifixion. That on the third day he chose to leave this planet. So there's all sorts of messages and metaphors in this event in Memphis that are teaching us about the divine purpose for this happening. And I, for one, believe it's to bring our attention to all the suffering that's going on in our society, and we don't need to be placing shame and blame on anyone. Just looking at all the dynamics of it, including the drug addiction, the pain, and the parenting, and the lack of parenting skills, and the lack of attention that even we give to people who we meet who just need a hug or who just need a kind word. And that's why I make it my business, even when I go to the grocery store, to make sure I call on the names of the cashier and the bagger and give them a smile and say, thank you so much. You did a great job. Even if they don't do a great job. I'm like so determined to, and when I meet people out in the street or in the grocery store, to help them feel better, because we just don't know what kind of pain people are dealing with. Let me open up the mic to Mama AZ. Speaking of pain, dealing with pain, Mama AZ is the queen of pain management. So, Mama AZ, you got a few minutes before the break, and we can come back to you if we need to. Go ahead. Your mic is open.
Thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay. To your listening audience and your guests, thank us. Thank us, Brother Kwame. What I want to say right quick, is Sister Chang, right?
Yeah, her number dropped, though. She may have had to leave because she's got two teenage daughters to deal with.
Okay, well, first of all, metaphysically, those dear ones ask for her. She's single parent, right?
Who you mean, Miss Chang?
Yes, ma'am.
I believe she's going through a divorce.
Okay. Well, those dear ones ask for her because of who she is. I can feel her aura just by listening to her. And those babies knew that she, single parent or not, would get them to where they needed to be. And she is very blessed, and I hope she listens to this, that they chose her because of who she is. Those children are gifted, and that's why they have succeeded, because they knew their purpose, and they knew who to choose to help them to get to where they needed to be. And I agree with that, brother. I sent you Dr. Mumbai's video. We, as copper-colored people, we don't know who the hell we are, and we don't want to know. We want to stay in the sand like the ostrich and not even figure out or know who we are and what our purpose is. Listen to Dr. Mumbai. I'm going to post her eventually because she is so on point. And the brother, I don't agree with everything. However, he's right on point and I'm in most things. And I'm going to leave it alone because there's a lot more I would like to say, but it's another time. Thank us. Dr. V.
Thank you, Mama AZ. And we're going to take our last break. And what Mama AZ points out to us is that when mothers can recognize the special gift in their children, that's mm-hmm. the beginning of making up for the lack of a parent in the house, is that when they just begin to see the special soul journey that their child is on, I call it conscious parenting. When that parent, whether that parent is alone or not, when you recognize what that child is here to do, it doesn't matter whether there's one or two parents in the house, in my opinion. It matters how you help them develop that gift, just as in the case of Ben Carson. That his mother, a single mother, saw in her children something that made her insist that they read a lot of books. And Ben Carson, the great surgeon, always talked about how his mother made them read so many books that he developed a love for reading. But even though there was no father in the house, his love for reading took the place of having a father in the house. Because there was someone there, his mother in particular, who was paying attention to the gift that this young man had. And obviously it was she recognized something in him that his teachers didn't recognize at first, because I believe he talked about how he was doing. He was a very poor student in school, and yet his mother's insistence that he read, and replace in many ways the father figure, is that's what helped him develop as a great surgeon in many ways. So, Naima Latif, your mic is open whenever you're ready to play our last group of commercials. And then when we come back, I want to share with you one woman's suggestion on how single parenting 101, how we can help men or women who are the only parent in the house do a better job. And that's what we're, because it's a reality in our.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show, as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
To Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon. And we're back. Thank you so much for joining us. I'd like to read some comments from our Facebook family. Beautiful comments from our sister Zelda is in the studio. Grand Rising, Grand Evening. Always diverse on this platform. Love it. Thank you, Zelda. And Naima's with us. And we have a long comment from our guest Eva Marie Keys. Says, my mother ascended when I was 3 years old. My grandmother, my mother's mother, raised my siblings and I all together. Woo-hoo for grandma. Oh, my goodness. That's a big job. That's a job, though. It is a job. And it's the most important job, really, women can have. My father was in the house as well. My grandmother gave up her life at the age of 45. she was the best mother in the world. Hoo-hoo for grandmas. Sometimes that's the role they have to take on. My grandmother moved us from downtown to University City, Missouri. My father moved with us. Like I said, he was one of the best fathers in the world. About 4 years later, my father asked my grandmother if his girlfriend could move in, and my grandmother told him no. And he, I don't know, does this continue, Eva Marie? Let me see. If my father, Neva, would have moved his girlfriend into my grandmother's house, I wouldn't be damaged today. My life was terrible. Oh, dear. What happened? I missed something here. If my father never would have moved his girlfriend. Oh, okay. Looks like the girlfriend actually moved in anyway. If my father never would have moved his girlfriend into my grandmother's house, I wouldn't be damaged today. My life was terrible. Absolutely. You know, we're talking about the dynamics of parents. There's so many factors that contribute to the unhealthy emotions, or I would say the lack of emotional intelligence in adults today because of events like this, where a girlfriend moves into the house or dad leaves, mom leaves. And Zelda says, this is exactly why we will be discussing Tyree Nichols on Monday Morning Mindfulness tomorrow at 7 a.m. Don't forget to join her, Tyree Nichols, Another Emmett Till, 68 Years Later on Monday Morning Mindfulness. Thank all of you, Eva Marie, especially, and Naima, Zelda, all of you in Facebook land. And I want to share with you this audio, Single Parenting 101, and I'm actually going to put up the video on my StreamYard Facebook page so you can see this beautiful woman and her sharing about Single Parenting 101. Again, our intention tonight is to help improve the single parenting reality. There's not a lot we can do about it. As I said, there's so much pain out there between the mother, the father, the children. And I'm just here to share some of the dynamics of this situation. But most important, we want to help parents to heal and do the best job they can do, whether they're single or not. So this is a young woman, or looks like a woman, young woman.
Hi, and thank you so much for coming back to my channel this week. So today we're going to be talking about single parenting 101. Whether you're a mom or a dad, all of these tips will be just as interesting and helpful to you. So I know there is going to be some things that not everyone may know. So that's why I felt it necessary to share these tips with you. These are tips that I have found myself online, and there are tips that I use in my daily life. For those of you that don't know, I'm a single mother of four. I have teenagers, and I have a younger one that's only three. So if you are one that's dealing with that same age range and you need some tips and tricks on how to kind of release and enjoy life and still be a parent without being stressed out, these are going to be some great tips for you. So if you want to see how to kind of tune in and get ready to start making life easier as a parent, okay, guys, so let's just jump right in. The very first tip is something that I think is profound for any parent, because your schedule is super important in reference to what you can actually include in your daily life, what you can do with your children. And so the very first tip is work a schedule that suits your family, okay? Work a schedule that suits your family. I have not always had the luxury of being able to work from home and make up my own schedule as an entrepreneur. I am a makeup artist, freelance makeup artist, so I accept jobs, you know, here and there throughout the week, and then when I'm not working, I work from home. So, and I make up my own schedule with that. So that is a very, I would say, blessed situation that I have, and I am so thankful to God that is the situation that I am in. And everybody doesn't have that luxury. Some people have to work for other people and work 9 to 5. And if that is the situation, don't be afraid to go to your boss. Don't be afraid to go to whoever is in charge at your place of work and discuss with them. If you're getting to your child's school to pick them up or getting home too late and you're rushing through traffic and it's creating a stressful situation for you, the first thing you want to do is just go to your boss and just let them know, hey, is there any way I could possibly come in 30 minutes early, get off 30 minutes early? I'm having some, you know, conflicts with my schedule, and it's really causing me to not be able to be there for my child. And I'm all alone. I don't have any help. If you come to people that way and they really know and understand because they may be a parent as well, you never know what the situation would be. So don't put it past them. Just go ahead and ask and see what you can work out. You might be surprised at the outcome. So the second tip is scheduling kid-free time. Okay, we all need time to ourselves. If you're single, of course, and you want to go out on a date, or you don't want to go on a date, but you want to do something for yourself, like going and get a manicure or pedicure, or if you're a dad, you want to just go and play basketball, or, you know, go to the gym, you know, schedule a sitter. And if you can't afford a sitter, then it's always great to know other parents that you can maybe swap babysitting services with, whether they're in your neighborhood or whether they are friends of the family and they have children and they're going to want to also have time to themselves. It's always a great situation when you can swap sitting services. Okay, so the third tip is don't obsess over things that you cannot control. Okay, there's always going to be situations that are going to come up as a parent when you are handling everything on your own that is out of your control, including dealing with the other parent. The father or the mother of your child is not pulling their weight and, you know, they're making false promises, where they say they're going to come and do something and they don't follow through. One thing you don't want to do is to allow yourself to get to the point where you're just losing sleep over something that, again, you can't control. You are the primary parent. So what I always do, and I don't have any problems with the other half of my children, I just don't even put it in my mind to think that I need their help for this or for that. I mentally focus on doing it on my own. And then if they know about whatever's going on, I will share it with them. And then if they are able to do something then or to assist, then it's an extra, it's a bonus. But I have the mindset that this is on me. I'm going to try and focus on doing as much as I can. If things don't follow through properly, then I'm not going to stress about it. I'm not going to lose sleep because it's not something I can handle. I'm just going to be the best parent that I can be. And that's all you can do. Okay, so number four tip is take a moment and count to 10. Okay? There is nothing like having to deal with, if you have toddlers, you know, picking up peas off of the floor for the 10th time, or dealing with siblings that are fighting, or, you know, just having to repeat yourself, which you do have to do on a regular basis as a parent, repeating yourself, telling your children what to do and what not to do. And sometimes it just really is helpful to maybe go to another room, go to the bathroom, shut the door, turn the light off, count to 10, you know, just take a break for a moment, go in the closet, sit on the floor. Take that time to actually kind of regroup, give yourself more of a clear mind by thinking of something that's positive or something that you're looking forward to. Or, you know, laugh it off. Laugh it off instead of getting upset and then keep going with whatever it is that you have to deal with and then come back to it another time. And that goes not just for this type of situation, but just in life, period. There's going to be things that are going to frustrate you, and whether it's a relationship or whether it's your job, if that's the case, then, again, in any situation in life, take 10. stop, count to 10, laugh it off, go in another room, close your eyes, do whatever you have to do just to kind of bring yourself back. Because yelling is not healthy for a child. And I have to admit myself, it's very easy for me to get to a point where I raise my voice or I find myself reprimanding all the time. And that's really not a good feeling because I don't want to feel like the only communication that I am having with you is when you're doing something wrong or I'm telling you what you need to do and correcting. You want to have a healthy relationship with your children. So even myself, I am working on that because I have three boys and three of them are in middle school. So when it gets to that point, there are times where you're like, oh, my God. Again, you left the house without making up your bed, or you have trash under your bed, or you were supposed to clean the kitchen and you didn't do this, or you didn't wipe off the counter, then I find myself repeating things all the time. And it's not until I'm not in the situation anymore, where they're gone the next day at school, and I'm like, I don't like this. I'm going to have a better, calmer relationship with my children, where they don't look at me as just being the person that's yelling and telling them what to do all the time. So I'm learning from these tips as well. I'm sharing it with you because it was definitely a helpful thing for me. The next tip is don't have a competition with yourself. I know.
I want to stop there because we're almost at the end of the show, and my guest is back in the studio. So I want to open her mic because she has two children, and she actually took a break to attend to those children, which is great. Thank you, Suyini, for coming back and joining us. I'd like to give you a few minutes to share with our audience what you do, how people can get a hold of you, and a little bit of your parenting tips.
Thank you. So what it is that I do is I provide diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging solutions to businesses, helping them understand how to leverage DEI in a way that drives their business development goals, as well as optimize their culture performance. So we do training solutions as well as tactical and strategy solutions. I am a mother of two girls, 13 and 16, and so they are very much teenagers, and they're just in that phase where their brain and their hormones are underdeveloped. And the hormones are overdeveloping, and their brain is frontal lobe is underdeveloped, and so that presents its own natural challenges. But each phase, I believe, brings its own lessons and blessings, and so I'm walking with them as they go through these transitions. For me as a parent, one of the things or the tools that I have learned is, first and foremost, teaching them how to connect with their sacred preservation. They have to understand the relationship that they have with the Most High first. And I think that has been the thing that I want to drill home with them over and over again, just over all their years of their life, is just the repetition of and the iteration of having an attitude of gratitude and giving praise and thanks to the Creator for all the blessings that they have. Staying in that state of appreciation and helping them to understand the tools that they can use that's accessible to them to nurture their soul, you know, the things that fill them up and fill their cup that are free or don't cost anything at all for you to go outside and sit in the sun for a little bit just to absorb that energy of the sun and vitamin D. It's those things that are just acts of kindness that they better understand that in giving unto others or to sowing into something else, nurturing something else, not only do they grow, but they help to grow or inspire somebody else to do the same thing. As a parent, I believe in crafting out that time of stillness. So that's one of the sort of the tools that I reinforce with my children. Another tool that I reinforce in parenting is crafting out time to spend together, very intentional. The time that I spend with my 13-year-old has to be different than the time that I spend with my 16-year-old, because what the 16-year-old needs are different than the 13-year-old. As you know, when you have your children developmentally, they're just not the same person. And so I always say, you know, the Most High blessed you all with gifts, but her gifts are not the same as yours. And what she needs to grow, you know, and to learn is not the same as what you need. So what you might think is unfair is actually very fair in the moment. You might think it's unfair, but, you know, we don't have the foresight and the vision to know what her contract is with the Creator and what your contract is. We're just here as parents to nurture and develop it. And I'll say one other last tool that I do with my girls is really encourage with them the buckets of wholeness. So recognizing that they need to do something every day to nurture their mind, their bodies, their heart center, their mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual capacities. Every day do something in one or in each of those buckets, at least one thing in each of those buckets every day so that you can cultivate balance. Whole child and nurturing the whole self is important, and that's been something that I've been adamant about. Me as well as their father have been adamant about since the time that they were born.
Now, I understand, I believe you studied under Queen Afua, is that right?
Correct, correct. I did her Sacred Woman in 2003, 2004, a long time ago.
So have you been able to share that knowledge? And it sounds like you are a conscious parent, as I was talking about earlier. When you can recognize your children's unique gifts, then you can spend time owning those and encouraging in a special, unique way. And how has Queen Afua's teachings influenced you and your family?
I would say she's been very instrumental with regards to understanding not just the it was an introduction to the Kemetic belief system, spiritual system, through her and her husband at the time, Sanur Samaj, Baba Haru. But I will say that with me doing her rites of passage years ago, it was the intersection of my desire for deeper levels of understanding spirituality, but also the practical application and living that in your day-to-day life. So very instrumental. It was the beginning of a whole new Pandora's box that was open for me. At that point, I started to better understand so many various types of healing modalities and tools that are so accessible to us. As I mentioned earlier, just sitting under the sun can be rejuvenating and recharging, but understanding colon hydrotherapy, understanding Reiki, massage therapy, crystal therapy, sound therapy, utilizing and understanding the tools of Ma'at and bringing that into your household, your regimen around healing yourself through deeper levels of cleansing. That is a big part of Queen Afua's mission and vision around understanding wellness. And that wellness starts first with what you put in your temple, what you take into your body, but it also extends to what you ingest and digest through your ears. What are you putting in your what thoughts are you pouring into your mind? What feelings or emotions are you putting in your heart? So much of her work around self-healing has been extremely instrumental for me.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so glad you had an opportunity to be under her teaching for a little while. I met her in Georgia one year with Kwame Snorts. Building a sweat lodge there, and she was one of the teachers. So, and she, when every time I see her, she is just such a beautiful representation of a queen in this century. She dresses that way, she talks that way, her teaching, everything is very royal about her. So, how can people get in touch with you, Soyini, if they want to join you in this journey to heal, restore, renew, and create this great paradigm we're creating?
Yeah, feel free to just find me on Facebook, on Instagram. My Instagram is I am Saini. My Facebook is under Saini Ma'at, as well as my
What's the other one? Facebook, Instagram. I also have a Twitter, but if you see me on Facebook or Instagram, those are the easiest ones to reach me at. And my company business line is 855-777, as you mentioned, the sevens, right? The frequency of the seven. But 855-777-75, putting quantum power skills. Again, that's 855-777-7554.
Wonderful, wonderful. We are at the end of the show. I so appreciate having you. And the spelling of her name is Soyini. So check her out on all those different platforms, which is great. You can find, it's easy, be easy to find her. And this is one conscious, creative woman and who we want to be in touch with. And I hope you'll come back someday soon and share your journey with us again.
Thank you so much, Vieta, for having me. And absolutely, at this point, now that we know each other, let's just say you're stuck with me. So I do hope to come back again, and I appreciate everybody's attendance this evening and your time and your presence.
Yes, and I'd love to come and see your daughter play tennis. So since we're in the same city, let's make that happen.
Oh, yeah, that's easy. I'll tell you the next match where she's at with at the USTA. You can come down to the campus and watch her play.
Okay, great. Sounds like a plan. All right, everybody, and have a great evening and a great week. And thank you all. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, Monday morning, mindfulness with my sister, Zelda, and that's at 7 a.m. Central Standard, 8 a.m. Eastern. So, again, everybody, be safe out there. And remember that people are in pain. A lot of people are in pain. That's why there's the overdose epidemic. People are using all kinds of drugs and methods to bring relief from the pain. So give somebody a smile. You don't have to give them money or anything. Just give them a smile and a kind word. Speak their name tag, and let's all show more love, more compassion, and more wisdom. That's what the Tyree message is, I think, for all of us, is let's not sink to that level of hatred, but raise higher, go higher, 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 and promote the love energy. So we're going to say goodbye now to all our global family all over the world, and we will see you all tomorrow morning.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda.
Pakistan. Shukriya. Afghanistan. Tashakur. Saudi Arabia. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Thank you for using.